اخوان الصلي على رسول الكريم، اما بعد، اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لكي لا تأسوا على ما فاتكم ولا تفرحوا بما آتاكم والله لا يحب كل مختال فخور. صدق الله العظيم. Today our topic is about zuhd. Zuhd is a unique quality. I'm going to explain what it is, which in the light of hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, the very first virtue, very first virtue that the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam developed in them was yaqeen and zuhd. It's a deep hadith. You become hayran on this hadith when you ponder upon this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Zuhd, yaqeen, are the first virtues that you can find in the life of Sahaba ikram. Nobody, very, very few people can achieve the level of iman, yaqeen, that Sahaba ikram, Ridwanullahi ta'ala ajma'in, attain. This is why come in a hadith sharif that if a person gives so much gold in charity, like the amount of Mount Uhud, it won't, and my Sahaba give one mud. Mud is a very small quantity that they were serving in those days. They cannot equate what my Sahaba gives. Because the yaqeen, the iman of the Sahaba was so great, and the attachment to this world was so far away, that it was virtually impossible in today's time to think of people of this caliber. Their faith, if you read the life of Sahaba Kiram, when Zakariya rahmullah has mentioned Fazai Sahaba, we can see how their yaqeen could not be shaken. The faith, the firm faith could not be shaken. In today's time, on petty things, we tend to lose our yaqeen. We tend to lose our iman. This is what is happening to us. This is why the Prophet of Allah has said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the first virtue of this ummah is yaqeen and zuhd. Mawlana Yusuf Kandhalavi rahmatul alayhi, Hazaji rahmatul alayhi, in Fazai Sahaba, Hayatul Sahaba, in one of the books, Ghaliban, it was volume 2, he mentions that maybe later in life, in the later generation, we can see people in the ummah who have generated a lot of knowledge that maybe some Sahaba didn't have, or they have fasted so much that maybe some Sahaba didn't fast, etc. But there is one quality which you will find that nobody else can surpass the Sahaba Ikram. It is the quality of Zuhd. Zuhd means renouncing the world. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, this is the first virtue of this ummah, yaqeen and zuhd. And the contrary is the first corruption of the ummah. The first corruption of the ummah is bukhl, niggardliness, miserliness, the quality of amassing, the quality of collecting the world, the quality of the heart being attached to the world. And the second one, amal, not amal with an ayn, amal, which means to have very far-fetched hopes of this world. If you ponder upon this hadith, you will find that systematically, there has been a reversal in the feeling of the heart of the ummah. All the qualities that got to do with the heart, if you study the life of Sahaba Kiram and Tabi'in, Tabi Tabi'in, we come to our present day, you will find there has been a reversal in the feeling. The corruption has already started, and how it started slowly, slowly, and how those two qualities of yaqeen and the quality of zuhd has been removed from the heart of this ummah. Illa mashallah. So the quality of zuhd, the quality of renouncing the world, is a very important quality that a salik, a person who wants to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, must try to develop in his heart. What is the meaning of zuhd? Does it mean that we must go and live in the mountain? No, that's not what is the meaning of zuhd. Zuhd means the quality of living the objective of something of a lower status for something of a higher status. In other words, the world, the desires for the world, the luxuries for the world, we got to reduce the love for those things in our heart and imbue our heart with the quality of akhirat. The quality of what we're going to have in the akhirat. This is the meaning of zuhd. It does not mean that we're going to become an ascetic and leave everything. No. What it means is to reduce the love or the hope that we can acquire for this material world, whatever we can. Our exams will give us big posts or jobs, for example. Our business will do this. No. Our heart is not attached to that. If it comes in the way, alhamdulillah. If it does not come in the way, contentment of the heart. This is why the rich person in the light of hadith has been declared ghina'i qalb. The person who has richness in his heart, a person who has developed his heart to such an extent that whatever comes in his heart, he is contented with that. This is the meaning of zuhd. That is, we don't have hope of this world. Our hope is utterly towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we renounce this world. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahmatullah alayh, has said there are three types of people who practice on the quality of zuhd. The first one is, a person will renounce the forbidden things. In an example, to drink alcohol, some people get pleasures in that, but he has reduced this to nullity in his heart. He is not attracted to alcohol. To go to beautiful woman, it's a desire in men, but we have reduced it, we have removed it out from our heart. Like this, all the hurumat, things which are haram, he has removed it from his heart. He has abstained from that. He has renounced from that. He has divorced those things. This is the lowest category of zuhd, which we find, alhamdulillah. The second category of zuhd, these are any excessive things in our life, we remove it from our heart. This we find in the people who are pious, alhamdulillah, they have removed those excesses. That's something very important. If you allow me to explain to you what is happening in the world. When we spend our money, Sharia has divided it in three levels. Very important what I'm going to say, it's got to do with economics. When we spend our money, Sharia has classified it in three levels, and a three level of Masla on that. The first one is Zarura. What is important, the bare necessity that a person must have? Food, clothing, shelter, and medical aid, and a bit of health. That's it. That's what you find in the life of Sahaba Ikram. Ajib. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, if you read the life of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, how he was controlling his governors. It so happened once, when he went to visit one of his governors, I forgot his name. When he went there, he saw stale bread. And this bread was supposed, he thought this is for the cat or something. He saw this governor, after a few minutes, dipping it in water, and he's eating it. He was making qadar of this stale bread. Today, 40%, the statistics of UK, 40% of what we buy goes in waste. Official statistics I'm giving you from the UK government. 40% what we buy to eat goes in waste. 40%. Is that an ordinary figure? That's the official statistics of UK. Where are we going? Where this world is going? Consumerism, economic development, they call it, is to make a country develop. I won't go into the details of the theory of economic development. That you must encourage towards mass consumption. If you have one car, you must have two cars. If you have one TV in the lounge, you must have one TV in every room. If you eat in one packet of crisps, you must have one when you watch TV, one when on the playground, etc. If you look at our life, everything is being consumed beyond proportion. This is average life, what you can see in the world. That is, we have surpassed the concept of Zarura. When we surpass the concept of Zarura, unlike the Sahaba Kiram, then we enter the arena of Israf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never told us, don't eat and drink. Kulu washrabu wa la tusrifu. Eat and drink, but do not go excess. This is the quality of the Ahlullah, that they do not, the elite, they do not expand more than what is required. Sufyan, there was a great Sahabi, his name was Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu. He was sent as the governor of Iraq. He was sleeping under the tree, brothers. He was sleeping under the tree. The person told him, how can you sleep under a tree? You're a governor. These are not ordinary people we're talking here, brothers. Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu was this person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired to come with the concept of the trench, the ditch, the battle of Khandaq. He was a Jalilul Qad Sahabi. He traveled. If you read the life of Salman Farsi, that he was very old also. He studied all the religions before he became Muslim. That's an ordinary Sahabi. These are the people we are talking here. So a person told him, but how can you sleep in the open air like this? Let me make a small house for you. He said, what type of house are you going to make for me? He said, I'm going to make such a house for you where you will not be able to enter straight. You're going to bend a bit. And I'm going to make it such that you can only read your namaz on that, and only straight you can sleep, but as little you can sleep. Okay, I can accept this house. Zuhd. This is the quality of Zuhd. We are very far from reality. Very far from reality. If you read the life of Hazrat Umar al-Faruq radiallahu anhu, I'm giving you one example on food. This is one quality of lodging. Another quality of Umar al-Faruq radiallahu anhu. You know very well, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu once, for khutbah, Jum'ah, today everything is upside down, but according to Sharia, it is the Amir who is supposed to perform the khutbah. Khutbah of Jum'ah Salah is a very great thing in Sharia. The khutbah is something which motivates the Ummah. It is the lifeblood of the Ummah, the khutbah of Jum'ah. But we haven't got time to talk about that. So he was late. Sahaba Kiram asked him, but why are you, Amir al-Mu'minin, Jum'ah, why are you late? He said, I have only one pair of clothes. I wash it. I had to wash it before I come. It was wet. So I had to wait for it to get dry. Ajib. Your mind can't comprehend those things. In today's time, we open our cupboard. Allahu Akbar. 15, 13 type of kurtas we have. All colors, all design. All type of fabric, silk. Every time we have. This is the zuhd of Sahaba. Ikram, Ridwanullahi ta'ala ajma'in. I can give you examples of examples of examples of the quality of zuhd. Time does not permit it. This is what we mean by zuhd. That is, our heart is not attached to the world. So this is a quality of Zarura. Understand the concept of Zarura. This is what you will find in the life of the Ahlullah. That they haven't got anything. The bare necessity, what is required to be spent, this is what they will spend. And besides that, there is nothing. If this will be israf, will be extravagance. And this is a guna. Israf means we need something, but we buy a bit more than what we need. We need something, but we buy a bit more than what we need. But then there is one thing which is higher than israf, which is a big guna. Badr. Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ الْمُبَدِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Verily, they spend drifters are the friends of shaitan. And this is the biggest disease we have with the ummah in the Western country especially. Badr means we don't need something and yet we buy it. Mawla Ibrahim, Deir Rasab, Dama Barakatuhum, whenever he comes to South Africa, he has a special majlis, khas majlis for Ulama Kiram on this topic. This gives you an idea where the Ummah is going as far as spending is concerned. How much the world has ensnared our heart that we got no feeling in spending. The concept of Islamic economic system is out of our orbit, of our way of thinking. For a person of the caliber, Mullah Ibrahim Devla, is the person who's speaking in Nizamuddin, great alim. He has khas majlis for ulama. And speaking on this topic, brothers, this is not an ordinary topic I'm mentioning here, that we're spending on things that we don't even need, which is a kabira guna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, you are the friends of shaitan. How serious this matter is. Simple example, you go in the street, everybody's walking with two cell phones. Every small light you see working, one for T-Mobile and one is for whatever it is. Reality. We see it every day with our eyes. Neither the parents can think, neither the children can think. This is why Rasulullah has said that the first virtue of this ummah is yaqeen and zuhd. And the first corruption will be bukhl, miserliness. Amassing, amassing. How true this hadith of Rasulullah is. So the third category of spending, our heart is so well attached to this world, even we don't need something, we're buying it. And the greatest dushman is a TV at home. I repeat it again, the greatest dushman that have brought us to this brink of spending is a TV. I repeat it again, those adverts that we watch on the TV, those billboards that we see on the street, this is what has brought us to this level. Every beautiful smile on the board, they are very happy, contentment, and all those things. Whereas contentment, Allah hasn't put contentment in those things. Allah has put contentment in the zikrullah. Allah hasn't put contentment in spending money. You have to understand that. Allah has not put contentment spending money. Allah has put contentment, sakina. The word sakina, the kuffar cannot have a taste of it. Sakina, peace of mind, solace, tranquility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put it in the zikrullah. Quran says, beware, it's not in the zikrullah that man al-qulub, that your heart will have contentment, will have peace, tranquility, solace. We think by spending money on all those kachas, spending money on all those extravagance, on all those breaking buzz, breaking the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're going to have peace and contentment. This is impossible. Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayh, great tabi'i, he says that this world and the akhirat are like two co-wives. If you want to please one, you're going to displease the other one. As Muslim, we have to decide, do you want to attach our heart with this world, or do you want to renounce our heart from this world? Simple matter. So when we spend our money, this is the second one, to make israf, to make excess. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi says, this is for the elite, for the khawas. The first one is for the awam, the common people, he's going to renounce the haram. The second one is the khawas, the great people, those who are pious, the ulama, the ahlullah, then they will not make excess. There is a third level now. Allahu Akbar. Look at the vision of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi. May Allah put nur in his qabr for enlightening us on those things, to make us understand the concept of zuhd. Because if a person does not understand the concept of zuhd, he will not be able to understand those ahadith sharif. The third one, brothers. Allahu Akbar. Anything that diverts one's mind from Allah, he renounces himself from anything that diverts his heart from Allah. At times I ponder people like Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi, great muhaddith, he never got married because he was so involved in acquiring ilm and propagating ilm. How many great scholars we find they didn't get married out of fear that this would intervene in the work of imam, of propagating deen. You'll find this waqia, one of Zakaria rahmatullah alayhi mentioned in the Sahaba, that the Sahabi went the path of Allah. After how long he came, then he saw a youngster giving beautiful bayan on the mimbar, very impressed. Then he was going home, and going home he said, what are you doing by my house? The youngster said, who are you going to do my house? And he started fighting. Finally, the mother came out and told him, this is your son. When you went the path of Allah, you left him with me. Today he's a grown up. For how long he left? That is, his wife and his children was not a barrier for him in going the path of Allah to seek the pleasure of Allah. This is zuhd. To understand the meaning of zuhd, you got to go to the life of the Anbiya. Hazrat Sulaiman, The Quran. Quran mentioned this. Hazrat Sulaiman, alayhi salatu wasalam, he had beautiful horses. Once he missed one salah and he was looking after the horses, he got rid of those horses also. Because those horses were the means to divert him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quran mentioned this. This is the highest level. Where anything that's going to divert you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you renounce it as well. The salik, those who want to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the way to go. These are beautiful to talk, beautiful to listen, to put it into practice, this is another masala. But we use those people as our guiding star, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, guide me first of all to attain those things. So this is the meaning of Zuhd. As long as a salik don't understand the concept of Zuhd, his heart will always be polluted. There will be always something in his heart that will attract him away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why we find that the ulama kiram have explained, because it is a very pechida masla, because it is quite a complicated masla, the quality of Zuhd, you will find a difference of opinion among the ulama on that. What group of ulama says, do we have to abstain from what Allah has made halal? They say, no, Allah cannot make you. If Allah has given permission in the Quran to have a house, why you don't have a house? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the ni'mat, by you wearing the clothes of it, by you having a nice car, why should we feel bad about it? In fact, it's a gratitude of Allah to show a way of showing the gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As long as your heart is not attached to that. This is one category of Imam. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, it is reported that once people came to tell him, and I did mention it before, Imam Saab, he was a great businessman, that there had been a shipwreck, all your commodities, he was a great businessman, all your commodities have been destroyed. He did like this, he said, Alhamdulillah. Then 2 days later they came and told him, no Imam Saab, there was no shipwreck, your commodity are okay. He did like this, Alhamdulillah. The person said, what? You say Alhamdulillah. Both you say Alhamdulillah. The good news and the bad news. He said, I thought, I was asking my heart, by you hearing you have lost all those things, did it have any effect on you? It didn't have any effect on my heart. The second one, you say it has been saved. So many millions and millions of pounds of commodities have been saved. I look at my heart, it was not affected. One category of ulama. As long as your heart is not attached. Islam doesn't say that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you ni'mat, you must throw it away. No. One way to enjoy it, the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, within the limit of Sharia. The second category, the other ulama says no. They say that to abstain from the haram thing, this is an obligation. But to renounce the permissible is a virtue. And the dalil is from the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ مَتَعُ الدُّنْيَا قَلِيلُ وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ لِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Allah Akbar. Look how the ulama, one word, what buzz they go into that. He says that the world that you enjoy is very little. The akhirat is the main thing. It's far better for those who are fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is telling the Prophet, tell the people that this dunya is nothing. It's very little. Why are you wasting time with that? Seek for the akhirat. This is why the quality of zuhd, the definition of the quality of zuhd, is to reduce the desires for the thing which is less nobler, for something which is higher, which is the akhirat. This is the quality of zuhd. This is why when you look at the life of Sahaba Ikram, you'll find this conflict. For example, Abu Zar Ghaffari radiallahu anh was already in the time of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. He was already objecting against the life of the Sahaba. Because that time there were futuhat, a lot of victories, and a lot of wealth were being poured into Medina. He was objecting. I can't live in this society. I asked permission from Abu Bakr Siddiq to leave Medina. At the time, Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when Iraq was conquered, the gold was pouring in Medina. He started crying, brothers. He started crying. And the same area, same era, Abu Dhar Ghaffari radiallahu anhu came. Hey, Umar, I can't stay too much, too much. Because standard of living was going up. Umar said, no, stay in Medina. Third time, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu became Khalifa. He went to Hazrat Uthman. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu again told him no. Then what happened? He couldn't bear it anymore. Then Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu told him to go. Leave Medina, go and live in the mountains. This is one category of Sahaba. On the other category of Sahaba, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. He became so rich, brother, that his handkerchief was made out of silk. Allahu Akbar. But his heart was not attached with that. Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu. The reason I'm giving you those is to have a balance in understanding Sharia. How Sahaba-i Kiram understood it, how they practice upon it, and all got to do with our heart and our niyat. He had so much of caravan, so laden camels laden with commodities from Syria. Very, 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 very rich. When his camel was coming, entering Medina, and 500-600 camels, how much he had, Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha sent a message to him. She said, tell Abdul Rahman bin Auf, I heard the Prophet said, you'll be the last one entering Jannah among the Sahaba because your hisab kitab will be long. The whole caravan fi sabilillah. The whole caravan fi sabilillah. Who will do that today? Who will give that today? He had it, but it was not in his heart. That the point I'm trying to drive home is the hope of this world was not here. He was coming, the ni'mat of Allah was coming and he was accepting the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But his heart was not in there. This is what we have to understand, the quality of Zohar. To renounce all the world, what Sahaba Kiram did, this is how it was. So this is the type the ulama differs. There is another point of view, another group of ulama like Shifa Thori rahmatullah alayhi, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, who tried to explain the quality of Zohar. They say that it is just curtailment of hope for worldly gain. You curtail the hope, you don't rely on this world. It just curtail the hope. Your heart is clean. If it comes, alhamdulillah, you get a nice biryani today, you eat your nice biryani. You don't have to wait it to be stale to eat it. Eat it, enjoy it, no problem. But don't hope for it in your heart. I would like to go home now, my wife has cooked a lovely biryani or whatever. No. If it comes, that is in your heart. There is no, you have renounced the desires of all the things. If it comes, you enjoy it as a gratitude for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once a sahabi came in the majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had disheveled hair. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at him, he has a lot of many sheep and so on. Rasulullah said to him, Allah has given to you, why do you come like this to the masjid? Comb your hair, make you nice. If Allah has given to you, brothers who in Jamaat will know very well how smart is Hazrat Abdul Wahab Sahab, Amir of Pakistan. Tip top, always smart. His kurta matches with his amama. Very, very smart. But try to lead his life one day. Try to lead his life one day. I don't think many people can lead this life. His heart got nothing to do with this world. At times you look at night, he cleans the toilet. He got to clean the toilet at night. You sleeping and snoring, you're tired. Make 3-4 gush, you're tired, very tired. Hazrat is going to clean the toilet. At times he's tired making gush. Well, look for Hazrat, he's making gush at night, midnight. Samajhne ki baat hai. You have to understand all those things. The heart. Well, it all got to do with our heart. All got to do with the heart. How much the heart has understood what is Zuhud. How much the heart has, the ta'aluk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's by the way. So the hope for this world is the other category of ulama, they have gone up a higher level. These we have people like Ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayh. Ibn Mubarak rahmatullah was a very great muhaddith. I did mention him before. Great, Jalilul Qadr Tabi'i. He says that Zuhd means trust in Allah. Yaqeen in Allah. Ajib. Trust in Allah. And this must be coupled with love for poverty. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that I will be with the poor in Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a special inclination for the poor people. And you will find that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the choice of having his meal, the converting the Mount Uhud in gold for him, he said, Wallah, give me one meal, I can be grateful for you, and the other meal don't give me, so that I can ask, implore it from you. The balance, the poverty. That is, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose for it. This is why you get a second group of people that tell you to love poverty. The life of Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the spiritual mother, you'll find, each time they had money, they used to get rid of that money. They have, the moment money comes in their house, they used to sow it out. They never used to keep money at home. All the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, Ridwanullah ta'ala ajma'in, the wives of Rasulullah sallam, this was a special quality of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen. They didn't keep things at home. They opted for poverty. Understand that. One is you are poor. One is you opt for it. This is the quality of Zuhd. to renounce this world. You have it, but you get rid of it. Your gaze is not on those things. You have no hope on those things. You like this poverty life. This is why Ibrahim bin Adam, rahmatullah alayhi, if you read his life, how he opted for poverty. Being a king, he left everything. He started this life. Hazrat Ali kadamallahu wajha, same thing. If you read his life, you will understand. This is a point we have to understand. Zuhd means to get, to renounce this world. If you have it, you enjoy it. But your hope is not on those things. This is the quality of a salik. Because we cannot have two things in our heart. It is impossible to have Allah in our heart and at the same time to have the world in our heart. It doesn't work this way. So to renounce the world, the quality of zuhd, to abstain from the world, to look for something of a higher standard, this is the quality of zuhd. How we know we have developed the quality of zuhd in us as a salik? The very first one is curtailment of hope of worldly gains. Have we really reduced the desires for luxuries in our heart? Has there been a reduction in our heart? For example, we used to eat 5 packets of crisps. Have we brought it to 3 packets? Right. Is a way to test us. The second one, trust in Allah. How much is our trust in Allah? Is our trust in Allah increased or has it decreased? How much are we relying on Allah and we have put the asbab aside? Number two. Number three, to leave whatever diverts us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mawlana Abdul Hayy Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, Dr. Abdul Hayy Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, the spiritual mentor of Mufti Taqi Sahib, he had a lot of love for his grandchildren. All grandparents, they like to kiss, hug their kids. But he was training himself to such a way, before they came, he wanted to go to them, he just stopped, controlling himself, how Rasulullah was doing it, to develop the sunnah into him, and to have it under control, that this love of the children do not overpower him, that is diverted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something very important, how we relate ourselves with our parents, our children, our wives. Very important in the quality of zuhd. A Sahabi came to Rasulullah and told him, Ya Rasulullah, when I'm with you, I feel like this, like this, like this. When I'm with my family, I'm like this, like this, like this. Is that the same feeling? Rasulullah says, if you want to feel like you feel when in my presence, then Farishta will come and musafaha with you. So there must be a balance. On one hand, our family, Allah mentioned in the Quran that our children can be our enemy as well. Our children can be our enemy as well. So this must not, the love for children must not overpower our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, should it be, if it was permissible, if I have not taken Allah as my Khalil, my beloved friend, I would have taken Abu Bakr Siddiq as my Khalil. The point I'm driving home is, love for family is very important. You must give this love and affection to the family, but Allah must take charge in our heart. This also is a type of zuhd that we have to cultivate in ours. If we don't do that, we're going to develop the quality of bukhl, which we're going to talk next week. The quality of let other things taking the place of Allah in our heart, what will happen when we amass the world. The fourth sign that the wali of Allah has given for the quality of zuhd is there is a presence of repose in depositing a property. When you get rid of something, like the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, it does not affect your heart. Somebody like your watch, out of love for him, you want to give hiba, bhai, take it. And you don't feel anything. No, I feel something. I'm not going to give you my watch. I'll tell you an example. Bhai, take it. You don't feel anything in your heart. And it happens. Out of love, you try and give something. Because hukukul ibad. Because Rasulullah says that give gift among yourself, exchange gift, it increases muhabbat. To put this hadith into practice, your heart is not attached with your watch, your heart is not attached with your food. And there are so many waqiyat in the life of Sahaba ikram to understand the quality of zod. Mawlana Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi mentioned a beautiful waqiyah about this Sahabi. Once a Musafir came to Medina, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gathered the people and told who will look after him. One Sahabi lifted his hand. When he came at night, took him to his house. There was no food. There was only a small amount of food. I'm just summarizing it. And the children didn't have food. The mother, the food they were supposed to give to the children, the food he was supposed to have for his family, they offered him to the person. And what the Sahaba was doing, he used to make as if he was fixing the light at night so that the person who came, his guest, doesn't know that he haven't got food. They have given priority of others, huququl ibad, over themselves. This is a zuhd that we're talking of. And the following day, how Rasulullah ﷺ complimented him, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the heaven sent message. He was happy with this small action of him. The quality of thought. His heart is not toward this food. We got to understand all those things. There's so many waqi'ah in the life of Sahaba Kiram, in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he didn't have anything. Rasulullah had only two, a lungi and something to cover him. The mother sends the child, say, Ya Rasulullah, give us something. Rasulullah, we haven't got. He sends the child, say, the one that you have on your body, give this. Allah Akbar. Rasulullah takes this. And he remained without anything. The quality of zuhd of Rasulullah. In Qasida Burda, it's mentioned, Adib thing is mentioned, Qasida Burda. That the word La, La means to refuse people, did not exist in the dictionary of Rasulullah. Rasulullah could never refuse people something. And if you read the life of Rasulullah, you'll understand the quality of zod, renouncing the world, the highest, anything that will divert our attention from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the highest, and we can learn it from the life of Sahaba kiram. But we people are awam. We try to content ourselves with what is haram. But these are our guiding stars. We must try to reach that level. It's not easy, I know. I'm the last one to talk on those things. May dua Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me the haqiqah to practice on those things. So this is a vision of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, when he said that zuhd, the quality of abstaining from this world, the quality of reducing the luxuries of this world from our heart, there are three levels. One is for the awam, who abstain from the haram things which the Quran has said. The second one is among the elite, who abstain from those things which will lead us to excessive things. Their gaze is not on excessive things, they satisfy themselves with zarura. And zarura, I give you a lot of examples of zarurat. What does this mean? And also I told you there are three levels of spending. One is zarurat. One is the quality of it. Then we make it sharp. The third one is buzz. Buzz is we don't need something, yet we spend our money. There are one thing which is very, very important. Time is... What time is it? Still time. If you give me ijazat, I just take 1 minute to come into my mind. I want to explain you something very important. There are two things in Sharia. Another disease that we have in us. Illa mashallah. One masla is called azima, and one is called rukhsa. Very important. Very, very important, those two things. And this is where our ummah is going down, and don't have the, we can't develop zuhd in us. Rukhsa means Sharia overlooks certain things. For example, if you are a traveler, Sharia tells you don't fast. This is rukhsat, a leeway. But azima, the demand is we fast. Today we are going too much on rukhsa, too much rukhsat. We forget azima. And what is happening, the spirit of Islam is disappearing from this ummah. Nobody wants to make sacrifice. Because all the rukhsat, the rukhsat that we go for, got to do with our attachment of the heart with the world. Then we go for rukhsat. For example, if a woman wants to go down, wants to go outside, yeah, there's rukhsat, go outside, no problem. But then, the azimah of Rasulullah is better to stay in the house. Rukhsat, yeah, it is, you can go. But now what is happening, there's so much fitna coming in with that. Like this, we can put a compendium of fitna happening in our society because of rukhsat. Nobody gazes at the azima. What is the main thing that we must do? What is the best thing that we must do? So in zuhd, the same thing is happening. We are going on what Sharia tolerates. We are not looking at what Sharia is recommending, what is the best one, the sacrifice that Sharia is asking us to do. We are not prepared to do that. We are going on what Sharia overlooks, what Sharia we tolerate, and this is what is leading to our downfall, because we are not aiming the sky. If we aim the sky, at least we reach the ceiling. We are not even aiming the ceiling, leave alone the sky. How are we going to reach the ceiling? This is what is happening to the Ummah. We have forgotten Azimah. That also Maulana Ibrahim Sahib, if my memory serves me well, has mentioned to the ulama. So to develop the quality of Zuhd, to remove the love of the dunya from the world, all the things have to go on. Time is over, there are much few things to be said about Zuhd. But inshallah, because there's so much to say, next week we're going to deal with the quality of the opposite of Zuhd, which is Bukhl. The quality of Bukhl, which we must get rid. If you want to listen, I got 4 quotations I give, but if you're tired, I stop. Okay. Kareem, okay. 4 statements of the Sufi, the Wali of Allah, how they understood the quality of Zuhd. I won't take more than 5 minutes, inshallah. Junayd Baghdadi, rahmatullah alayhi, says, when he was asked what is Zuhd, he says, it is little thinking of the world. Our attention is hardly on the world. Only what is necessary we ponder and we try to acquire it. And erasing its traces from the heart. We need the world, we give some tawajjuh on the world, we buy this, buy that, whatever. But it's not, we have erased a trace of it from our heart. This is Zuhd, the quality of renouncing the world. Shibli rahmatullah alayhi was a great wali of Allah, he says, Zuhd is renouncing whatever is other than Allah. Anything is what is not Allah, you renounce it. Wash your hands with that. This is a high level now. Yahya bin Mu'adh, rahmatullah alayhi, says, he says that one will never attain true Zuhd until he possesses these qualities. A deep thing that comes from the mouth of the Ahlullah. And each one is a bayan on its own. He says the first one is you act, action without attachment. I help you, but I expect something in return from you. That can never be Zuhd. If I do it, it's for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I forgot even if I give you. My right hand has given you sadaqah, my left hand must not know about it. Action without attachment. Second one, speaking without ambition. Today, everything, we are so matlabi today. Everybody we talk, how can I get something from that person? If we cannot get something from him, we are not his friend. Matlabi. Huh? This is we don't control our speech. Everything we speak, how can we get his friendship? And from this friendship, maybe he'll help me for something. We become friends with a doctor in case I'm difficulty, something. We become friends with a businessman in case I go to his shop, I can get a discount. Everything we do, we get a matlab behind it when we speak with somebody. The third one is glory without having power over men. Subhanallah. That's for the politician. Glory without having power over men. Look at this vision of the Ahlullah, how the quality of Zuhd, when we develop it, these are good qualities that the world needs. But if only we can understand the reality of Zuhd. Then the last one is Bish al-Khafi, he says that Zuhd is a king who does not dwell anywhere but in an emptied heart. When the heart got no attachment with anything, like I gave you the example of Rabia Basriya the other day, where when a person asked him, "Hey Rabia, do you hate Shaitan?" She said, "My heart is full with the love of Allah, there is no place for hatred." This is Zuhd. The heart got nothing to do with this world, only Allah, Allah. Then lastly, how do we develop the quality of Zuhd? Ulama Kiram explained, is we must meditate on the defects, the harm, the ephemeral nature of this world. And we start pondering at night and whenever we are, on the benefits of the Akhirat, which is everlasting, which will be much, much beautiful than this world. The fruits that we're going to eat in Jannah of quality far, far better. It's not GM foods. These are not GM foods we're going to eat in Jannah. It'll be very big, but not like the one that we have today. The GM foods we are genetically modified. And the hood that we have to go in Jannah, it is said that one hood we spit in the ocean, it converts sweet water instead of bitter water. If they take one finger from the first heaven, it eliminates the whole world, the whole of Jannah. We haven't got youngsters here, we can't speak too much about the whole of Jannah, but they are not get filth in them. Eh? They haven't got filth in them. Why are we wasting our time with the hood in this world? Our wife, yes, by all means, they will be the queen of the hood in Jannah. Well, no problem with that. It is said that once, I don't know whether it's true, Allahu Alam, that Mawlana Umar Sahab, he was describing the hood. There was an old man there. So describing the hood as, huh? The hood are like this, huh? Like Zura, huh? Then he said that, but don't worry, your wife will be with you in Jannah. She will be the queen of your hood. The man collapsed. Subhanallah, Subhanakallahumma, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.